When you got dressed this morning, you might have thought for a minute about which shirt to put on, or if your earrings matched your dress. What we wear says a lot about who we are. Now imagine a future when what you wear actually tells you who you are, constantly and in real time. Your watch is your personal trainer. Your headband is making an action documentary of your life. Your bracelet congratulates you on your daily water intake and suggests eating more power foods. This isn't a page from a science fiction novel. It's the next big thing in tech, making computing less about smartphones and more about being a smart human. 150 people gathered in San Francisco recently to try on some technology. KLW's Christina Loring takes us there.
On the surface, it's just like any other tech conference. People are exchanging business cards, drinking lots of coffee, and constantly checking their phones. But they're not just checking phones.
I'm wearing Geiger counters, Fitbit Flex, and Nike Fuel Band, and a camera that I drag around with me and take pictures of stuff all over the place.
They're dressed like this because it's the Launch Wearable Tech Conference. That's right, wearable tech. And we're not just talking Google Glass.
We built a subwoofer for your headphones. It vibrates on your back so that you hear the low-end frequencies, but the people standing next to you can't hear a thing. You need to try it.
I sure do.
So basically, you wear it like a vest.
Okay. He's strapping this around my shoulder. Okay. So we're plugging my headphones into this, like, battery pack.
There's some music playing. You will hear that in your headphones now.
I can feel vibrations all along my back as electronic music is pumping in my headphones. For just a moment, I feel like I'm at Burning Man. Or maybe like I am Burning Man.
Now you on the radio, you have to see the expression. This is amazing. This is what we're going for.
Can you describe the expression on my
face? It's a look of pure bliss.
Wearable technology isn't technically new. The year 1975 brought us the Pulsar calculator watch.
The world's first solid-state wrist-time computer, now with date command. To read out the month and day, indicate morning and night.
1979, the Sony Walkman came on the scene, and people could suddenly wear their music wherever they went.
Sony introduces the only cassette player as small as a cassette case. The incredible-sounding Super Walkman.
But now, most wearable tech isn't just for entertainment. Instead, it's for tracking. And the subject is you. This phenomenon even has a name, the quantified self.
I think that in a few years, it'll be unthinkable, it'll be ridiculous to think back a few years when we had no information on our body. We didn't know how our body state, our sleep patterns, our emotional patterns, our heart, how it was doing in the moment.
That's Nadeem Kassam. He's the founder of a wearable health monitor company called Basis. He's a big believer that all this tracking will help us change our health and lifestyle habits, and that it won't seem weird for long.
You know, just a few years ago, it would be almost ridiculous to think that we would have an incredible supercomputer in our pocket that would connect us to anyone at any time or any piece of information on the planet in the moment. Now we all have iPhones.
Kassam shows me the Basis band. It looks like a soft rubber watch. But on the back, there's a bunch of small silver sensors that track things like your heart rate, your temperature, how many steps you take a day, how much you sweat. Right now, it's a way to monitor your workout. But Kassam tells me that in the future, we'll be able to measure our emotions with these sweat sensors. Of course I want to try it out.
Well, your heart rate's escalated because I just put a body monitor on you.
Yeah, I'm really nervous what you're going to reveal.
I'm also touching your wrist.
Am I lying right now?
I'm also touching your wrist. And so it's calibrating on you. It'll go up and down. Immediately as you bring attention to it, it'll go up. You're oscillating around, your heartbeat is around 68, 69, 70.
Now, knowing your heart rate and how many calories you burn in a day, by itself, that probably isn't going to change your life. But plug into an app that shows you patterns in your habits over time, and the quantified self promises that the truth will set you free. Still, there's something uncomfortable about it. Google CEO Eric Schmidt famously said that the company's policy is to get right up to the creepy line and not cross it. Wearable tech makes that line a little blurrier.
These things are very creepy. They invade people's personal space, and they really interfere with intimacy.
That's Jason Calacanis, founder of the conference. He describes himself as a techno-optimist, but that doesn't mean he thinks all wearable tech is good.
We have to figure out if it's adding to our lives or taking away, and frequently it's doing both concurrently. And these wearable computers, because they're persistently on and they're persistently in a position to be taking video and audio, are massive offenders.
Calacanis tells me about a gadget called Narrative, a life logging camera. It's a small, square, brooch-like tile you wear clipped to the front of your shirt or jacket, with a hole in the corner for a camera lens. It takes a photo every 30 seconds, and it's always on.
So are you taking photos of me right now?
I am, if that's okay. Yeah, so it looks like...
I'm standing across from Narrative founder Martin Schulstrom, who is sporting a Narrative as we talk. It's okay that he's recording me, because I'm also recording him with my mic. But in everyday life, even he admits that the camera is controversial. He still argues it's really useful in special cases, though.
Someone emailed us to say that her father came back from the Iraq war with a memory loss, so he can form new memories, and that they can include him in the dinner discussions about what they did during the day.
Schulstrom's argument is that wearing a camera is less disruptive than taking out a camera and pointing it at something every time we want to capture a moment. But I like to opt into my experiences and make a choice about whether or not they're documented. Because once they're documented, they're not necessarily private. Personal data has a way of getting out. But before I put my tinfoil hat on, I find Sean Bonner. He works for Safecast, an organization that started mapping radiation levels and building sensor networks after the earthquake and nuclear crisis in Fukushima, Japan.
It was really started as a reaction to either government or industry kind of failing to provide that data, and so the community sort of stepping up to take care of those problems and provide a solution.
Bonner is wearing all black and is holding a bag full of devices with their wiry guts exposed. Cables, circuit boards, and knobs, like a radio in a see-through case. These are wearable Geiger counters, made to check radio activity.
People take them and attach them to their bikes or backpacks when they go hiking, or just kind of carry them around in a bag all day and then collect that data, and then they can publish back and show what sort of levels they were exposed to during the day and provide that data for other people as well.
This was some wearable tech I could get behind, so I tried the Geiger counter around my wrist.
So it's reading the whole area around?
Yeah, exactly, and so there's a lot of stuff flying through this sensor all the time.
Like what kind of stuff?
No, like radiation particles, like alpha, beta, and gamma particles are flying through this all the time.
Okay, so I can't say,
yeah.
For KLW, I'm Christina Loring, and
right.
I'm not radioactive.
No, you are radioactive. Everything's radioactive.
You heard the man. In San Francisco, I'm radioactive Christina Loring for Cross Currents.